Welcome back to Set Apart Women podcast, where we demolish the lukewarm living and follow Jesus with all that we have.
Welcome, ladies. We are so glad that you've tuned in to Set Apart Women. Hello, my name is Laura Allred, and I'm with A Million Women. You can go to amillionwomen.org to find out about this once-in-a-lifetime movement this fall, October 12th, 2024, in Washington, D.C. We are believing and calling for a million Esthers from around the nation to meet us on the mall on October 12th to believe that America is going to turn back to God. So make plans to be there. Have your feet on the mall. Invite your friends, all the Esthers around the nation. Meet us for A Million Women. Go to amillionwomen.org to register today. Enjoy the episode.
What's up, Set Apart Women? I'm your host, Jamie Lynn Walnow. And if you are joining us for the first time, I'm really glad that you're here. And I am so happy you're here for this week's episode. Look, this is a word from the Lord in 2024, what God is doing in women, and that is you. This message is literally for every single woman that has breath in her lungs right now. I'm telling you, the Lord is calling on you to answer a call, but I'm just going to ask you, will you answer? Will you respond? And I think during this episode, you're going to feel really empowered to come join a powerful movement. You're not meant to do this alone. And somebody is really special that's here that is helping lead the front lines of this movement with Lou Engle. And so this is my friend Laura Allred. Hello, Laura.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, Miss Jamie Lynn. I'm good. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Me too.
I love you so much.
I love you too. I'm so excited. I am so excited because you are part of A Million Women. And you have been part of the Back to Life movement. And so we're going to talk about both of these things today because they're applicable to, I mean, I'm like so, I can feel my smile already. My face is going to be hurting at the end of this episode. But let's go, let's just dive in. Can we
just
dive in?
Sure, yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's go to the Back to Life movement.
Okay.
Because you, for the past like 14 years, have really been contending and showing up and done some pretty radical things to fight for life. Am I correct?
You are correct. It actually started when I was a little girl. The Lord gave me a burden for the ending of abortion when I was like in the third grade. Fast forward to my adult years, there's a lot, you know, woven in between that, a lot of opportunities to obey the Lord, a lot of invitations from Jesus to obedience, and one follow through of obedience to another led to, you know, me actually being a national pro-life leader. That was not a goal of mine at all. But what happened was, I'm from Houston, Texas originally. I live in the Dallas area with my husband, Gabriel, but I was home on a ministry trip in 2009. So that's like 15 years ago. And I saw in my old neighborhood this building. It was a bank under remodel, and it was huge. And this bank has like, it looks like steps, like the stairs, the levels of it are like steps. And as a little girl passing this bank, I would imagine these giants like climbing these steps up to the sky. Well, the bank was obviously under construction. And so I said to my mom, like, what's going on there? And she was so frustrated. She said, they're building a Planned Parenthood in that building. I had already been a pro-life intercessor for many, many years. Yeah. I had already been praying the 18-word prayer that we prayed for 18 years. Jesus, I plead your blood over my sins and the sins of my nation, God and abortion, send revival to America. I had already been a part of the movement in the place of intercession, but some righteous indignation rose up in me. And let me paint a picture of this area of town. I grew up in the barrio in Houston, right? So a big mega Latino neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And my last name now is Allred, but my maiden name is Zavala, so I'm Mexican. And right next to our neighborhood is a mega African American neighborhood. And then the University of Houston is right there. So I knew instantly Planned Parenthood, this giant mega billion-dollar grossing industry, is being very strategic about where they're placing this abortion clinic.
Right.
And they're targeting my people, my family, my cousins. And I did not have, in my ministry account at the time, I had a ministry, but I had like $100 in my little ministry account. And I'm like, how can I even impact this at all in any way? But I felt like the Lord was inviting me and saying, do you want to dream with me about what we can do together? And my answer was yes. So it began with small little prayer meetings with just 30 women. We would drive down from Dallas and we would pray against the spirit of death. We would pray, you know, and just say, God, we just repent even in advance and just ask the Lord to shut that place down. Mm-hmm. And then it grew to a prayer meeting with one of my spiritual dads, Doug Stringer. I have two key Mordecais in my life, Doug Stringer and Lou Engle, that I've been in relationship with for 20 plus years that have encouraged me as a woman in ministry. Man, I just want to pause and say, like, that's so vital, you know? Having Mordecais that encourage you to your destiny. My husband is my main Mordecai. Yeah. Anyway, I was going to think of a joke, but I'm not going to say it. Okay. So that prayer meeting led to several hundreds. And that prayer meeting led to a phone call to Lou Engle that in less than just a few months, we did a call in Houston, a kind of 911 emergency prayer gathering. Yeah. And 14,000 people showed up to that prayer gathering.
Wow.
And we prayed and we did life sieges, which is just contending for life with tape on our mouths that just say life, a silent life siege. And from that moment, I knew that there was probably something else that God had for me. And so one day, as I'm waking up from being asleep, and this is when the Lord speaks to me the most. And I think he speaks to me the most in this moment because my natural brain, you know, my own thoughts haven't kicked in to mm-hmm. override whatever the Lord is saying. And the Lord just deposited this wild prayer strategy and basically said, what if, Laura, you get 39 young women, each representing a year of legalized abortion? So this is back in 2012, now we're talking. And you prayer journey from that abortion clinic, which was the largest in the Western Hemisphere, not only the largest in the nation, but the largest in the Western Hemisphere.
Wow.
And what if you prayer journey and do a prophetic act and walk back to the front door of the federal courthouse where the first federal filings for Roe v. Wade, which is the law that made abortion legalized in America, the very first federal filings, the birthplace of federal legalized abortion in America, was in Dallas, Texas.
Right.
It's 250 miles, and I'm like waking up going, okay, whoa, but also, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And so I called, you know, my Mordecais. I ran it by my husband. I called the Mordecais in my life and my pastor, Jim Hennessy, and they all are like, yes, we resonate with this from the Lord. We think you should do it. So it wasn't like I could call anybody and say, hey, friend, when you did your 250-mile prayer journey, tell me the logistically, did you pull permits? How did you do that? Where did you walk? Did you map it out? Did you have security? Like, nobody had ever done anything like this in my world.
Right.
And so it took about a year to pull off $250,000 to be raised.
Wow.
The onus was on me, mm-hmm. you know, to do all of this. And I'm like, all right, Lord, let's go. And so Papa Lou Engle helped me so much. We sent out a call. 39, we had applicants. These 39 young women that walked to this day will always be heroes and warriors to me.
Yeah.
And so in April, we set off on April 2012, we set off on foot. And then we had a further idea is we had all these intercessors around the nation following us. And we're like, you know, how can we stream this? And at the time, we didn't have live streaming from devices the way we do now.
Right.
So we had to have a media team.
Wow.
With satellite backpacks that were like, you know, as big as their torso, on their backs, heavy equipment, big old cameras, and they followed us around. They followed us on foot as we walked, and we live streamed morning, noon, and at the end of our walk every single day.
Wow.
So that we could, you know, include people in the journey with us. So the stories from this 21 days, first of all, these 21 days were holy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we walked and we wept because we were really wanting to identify with the 39 years at that time, the 39 year history of federal legalized abortion in our nation. We wanted to carry the burden of the Lord with him as we walked.
Right.
This wasn't a journey for media. Although there was some media, this wasn't a journey to garner attention or to advocate or to be a protest. This was a prophetic intercessory prayer journey to carry the burden with the Lord of the 60 million babies that had been aborted. Wow. So it was holy. It was spiritually impacting. It was funny. Sometimes we weren't always in intercession the whole time. We were joking and, you know, cutting up and singing and worshiping. Mm-hmm. But we knew that, man, I can just even feel the Holy Spirit now. We knew that with every step that we each took, these 39 young women, with every step for 250 miles, a transaction was taking place in the Spirit. And we were, just like Ezekiel laid on his side for 300 and I forget how many days it was for every sin of Israel, we were walking and repenting for these 39 years. Wow. It was powerful. We had encounters with the Lord. I'll just tell you two stories about this, and then I want to talk about what God's doing today.
Yeah.
The first story is, as we were training for this journey, it took months and months. I kept getting these blisters on my feet. I could not get rid of them. I went to podiatrists. I got fitted for shoes. I did the socks. I did the powder. I did all the things. And these blisters kept coming, and we're like 2 days into the journey, and the whole bottom of my heel is a blister on both feet. Not just a little spot, but like the whole heel. And I'm trying everything. And we have a doctor friend, and he goes, well, Laura, there's one more thing we can do. It's really painful. And I don't know if you want to do this, but it's called the hot shot. It's something that high level athletes do when they have a reoccurring area in their body blister. And so I'm like, I don't care what it is. Let's do it. So a hot shot is he pulled the blister fluid out syringe, measured the CCs, and then in turn put the same amount of iodine into the blister.
Oh my goodness.
And if you don't know, iodine burns like fire. Yeah. To this day, even after having C-sections and fractured backs and all kinds of things, it was one of the most excruciating things I have ever physically experienced in my life. And in that moment, I chose to offer my body and to say, I'm going to identify with the suffering of the babies that are aborted through saline abortion, that are burned alive in the womb. And I began to cry out, God, it's worth it. You're worth it, Jesus. They're worth it. It's worth it. And I turned it into travail and intercession. I'm like, I'm going to use this moment right now just to identify with the pain and the suffering. And I would later on heal and begin and be able to, you know, complete the journey. But we had so many moments along the way. As the day before we crossed into the Dallas County line, we paused for a moment of prayer because we knew that we were going into this territory that had really built a national stronghold of death.
Yeah.
And so we didn't do it flippantly, right? And so we went and we prayed, we were fasting. We walked in. Jamie Lynn, listeners, I don't even know how to articulate with words how we felt in the spirit what was happening. When we partner with the Lord, when you partner with the Lord in the place of prayer, you may feel like it's a small thing, but the heavens are shaking. Yeah. And something about that day, it was like I could almost audibly hear with every footstep as we had gone over 21 days, something was shaking in the nation. Yeah. Something. It was almost like I could hear, like with every footstep, like boof.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like giants were walking.
Wow.
So we cross in, we're just life, we're chanting life over Dallas, over the nation, from that place where death was really exported.
Yeah.
And we could feel the tension in the spirit. Not 5 minutes after we crossed that day into the Dallas County line, all of a sudden these unforecasted tornadoes, 7 tornadoes,
sprung up
within a 1 mile radius of where we were physically. And you know what a tornado is?
Mm-hmm.
A tornado is a collision of hot air and cold air.
Come on.
It's a manifestation. It was a manifestation in the natural of what was happening in the spirit. And those tornadoes literally chased us down the freeway. That's a whole nother wild story. I don't want to. I know. I don't know. So let me just fast forward a little bit. As you know, and your listeners know, Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Praise God. In June of 2022.
Yeah.
I wish we could do a whole nother episode just on abortion alone, because let me say this, and I probably should have said this earlier, and I'm just going to speak to the camera here just for a minute. If you are watching this episode or listening to this episode and you are a woman who has had an abortion, I just want to speak. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as Lou Engle says, your greatest moment of pain can be your greatest prophecy. Mm-hmm. And some of the strongest voices that I know for life are women who could say, well, I had an abortion, so I'm disqualified for speaking on life. No, 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 daughter. You can be the strongest voice. God can use you. And so I just want to release that, the love of Jesus. This is not, I don't want you to hear this and receive it as condemnation. I want you to receive it as freedom. But we are so grateful that abortion, federal legalized abortion, is overturned in America.
Yes.
Let me say, Jamie Lynn, there were days when we prayed with faith that this giant would fall,
right.
There were days we were like, in our lifetime, we will see it. Yeah. And there were days we were like, in our lifetime, we will see it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's overturned just recently, just this last weekend. At the time of this recording, the anniversary of Roe was yesterday, mm-hmm. 122. Mm-hmm. But just this past weekend, I was able to go back to that abortion clinic to put my feet on the ground with my Mordecai's, Lou Engle, and Doug Stringer, and to give thanks that in that building, while it's still open, in that building, there is no more loss of innocent bloodshed in that building. And we just wept and gave God thanks and had an altar of remembrance. And I just want to encourage those who are listening that a prayer life and obedience from that prayer life is everything.
Yes.
It's everything. Yes. There are assignments that are up for grabs. Mm-hmm. There are assignments that the Lord wants to deposit to everyone that's listening mm-hmm. to the sound of my voice. There's an invitation for you to be a part of making history, and just obey the Lord in the little, and he'll make you faithful over much. Yeah. But I'm just so honored I got to partner with the Lord and to see the fruit. I see it. I saw it in my lifetime.
Yeah. It's incredible.
To see the fruit of those prayers. Wow.
And what's so cool is that you had this radical encounter with God who gave you this amazing idea of suffering and joy and victory and travailing, this long journey to physically feel the loss, to feel the weight of the prayers, you know, beyond just praying, which praying is powerful, but you obeyed. Right? Yeah. And you did the hard stuff to make it happen. And that was 14 years ago?
14 years ago. Well, the walk was 2012.
Okay.
It's 2024. Do the math. Is that 12?
That's 12 years ago. Yeah. I was like, oh no. I was like, don't make me do math.
No, don't make me do math. I know.
Like, but that was 12 years ago. Okay. So yes, faithful at the little. Yes, showing up and praying. Yes, showing up to that prayer meeting. Yes, not giving up, knowing that he's good. His love endures forever. And he hears the sound. Look, God's timing is really powerful. You know, that was like -8 days possibly in heaven, but like 12 years for you of contending and believing.
Right.
And watching an army grow in faith.
Right.
Most days. That this would happen in our lifetime. It's such an incredible victory.
Be faithful on the wall.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing too. I think what's so powerful is these hidden moments that you prayed in that produce these, like you get to see in public what you contended for in private, truly. Right. And there's hundreds of other intercessors that we'll never know about that contended for this, that were weeping when the news was shared that Roe v. And I think that's what's so profound is that you heard the Lord and you obeyed and you kept showing up.
I mean, I played my part. It was a small part. There were millions of intercessors who had been praying for 39 years that would be overturned. And for 49, actually, was when it was overturned. And what I love about the significance of that number is 49 is the Jubilee year. It's the year that death is broken. It's the year that we stand before the Lord. A nation stands before the Lord, and that thing was broken in the Jubilee year.
I didn't actually know that.
It didn't make it to 50 years.
Wow.
And so I played my part, but I think if we all, imagine how powerful, what kind of kingdom things we could do if we all just engage in the Lord when he invites us to obedience. Really, it's just obedience.
Yeah.
It's just saying yes.
That's true.
And if we would all just say yes, even in the hard days, in the small things, we would advance the kingdom of God.
And you know, even with the hard days, the times that come, you know, we've talked about this so much on this podcast. Like, Jesus didn't send people out in ones by themselves. He sent us out in pairs. And what I love is you gathered women to do this walk. And this is a good transition into what God's doing now.
Yes.
Because you have said yes to something else that's really profound. And Set Apart Women has literally laid down our year and our agenda. And the Lord told me this at the end of last year, and I shared it with Ashley. I was like, I really feel like we are supposed to partner with what God is doing through this movement.
Come on.
And that we aren't supposed to have a conference till January 2025. Like, we're supposed to be there at the mall. We're supposed to show up and help. And so we, as Set Apart Women, if you're tuning in, we are literally going to be at these events. Our team, our crew, we are showing up to these things. And Laura has created opportunity for you to show up. So this is, once again, for all of you listening. So please tell us about A Million Women.
Well, first of all, I want to respond to that and just say thank you. Thank you to Set Apart Women. Thank you to you, Jamie Lynn. Thank you for your leadership and recognizing so many people in ministry would go like, well, I have my conference and I want to grow my, whatever. I honor you for seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
For seeing the national picture, for seeing the state that our nation is in, and that if we want to see America turn back to God, there's no better way to do it than the power of agreement.
Come on.
There is no, and listen, in my opinion, nobody better to spearhead than the mama bears, than the women.
Come on.
So this storyline actually began in 2014. It probably began way back for Lou Engle, who's really the Mordecai in this movement. Mm-hmm. It began for him in 1999 when he prayed an initial prayer that seared his heart and has been like a true north for him ever since. And that prayer was, God, how can I turn America back to God? And the rest of his life has been this dominating prophecy. And if he followed his journey, he's gathered thousands upon thousands upon thousands through the years. But this leg of the race began in 2014 when there was a prophecy that came forward that said, there will be a day that a million women will gather on the mall in DC, and it will be a last stand for America. And these women would come in the spirit of Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter 9, 21, it says, death has climbed in through our windows to remove the children from the streets and the young men from the squares. Mm-hmm. That was death's agenda, climbing through the windows to the Israelites, but it's still the same spirit. Mm-hmm. The same spirit is still climbing through the windows of our nations today. Yeah. And so we are at so this prophecy was, it would be almost like a last stand for America.
Yeah.
So for the last 10 years, Lou Engle's been carrying the burden of this vision. And we've been asking the Lord, many of his spiritual daughters, is this the year? Is that the year? Are we doing it now? And it was like, no, the timing just wasn't right. Well, through a series of beautiful divine circumstances, in April this 2023, God encountered Lou on an airplane. I'll just tell this one story. Yeah. There's a huge storyline. But don't you just love stories?
Yes.
I love stories.
I'm literally just like, I'm like totally engaged in
this. I mean, stories and dreams and the stories of people living out their God obedience. We tell these stories not to puff up these people or ourselves, but to encourage people that God has a storyline for your life.
We read about them all throughout biblical history.
Yeah.
And where to live these radical new stories with God
exactly.
In the same but different way. Yeah.
And when we read the biblical stories, we know how they end because we're reading the stories. But Esther, in Esther chapter 4, when Mordecai's appealing to her, Esther, you've got to take a stand. She didn't know that her life was going to be spared.
Yeah.
She thought she could die.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like nowadays we read the stories because we know the end of the story. But sometimes, and I just feel the Holy Spirit on this, sometimes we're suspended mid-chapter in our lives. And in that mid-chapter, you're in a dark place. And you're like, is this the end of the chapter? Is this the end of my story? It is not. If it's not good, it's not over.
Come on.
And so this storyline, you know, it's been a long time coming, but I want to share how the Lord encountered and confirmed to Lou that 2024 was the time to pull the trigger and call a million women to the mall. He was having an encounter with the plane. He was reading a book by Mark Batterson that was basically like, there are moments in your life when one day too early is you're going to miss the assignment. And one day too late, and you're going to miss the assignment. Mm. And the Holy Spirit in that moment said to Lou, you have to pull the trigger now. You have to call a million women to the mall in 2024 now. So he's on this plane. He said he's about to bust out of his skin. And if you know Lou, you know he rocks. And he was like, oh, like trying to contain himself. He had to switch planes and catch a layover on his way to Pasadena, California. And he switches planes, and on the first flight, he said, okay, God, if this is you, I need you to confirm this to me. Like, I mean, this is mission impossible. Mm-hmm. Like, I really need some divine confirmations. This can't be a Democrat thing or a Republican thing or a white thing or a black thing. If you're asking me to do this, I need the African-American Esthers, the mothers, to arise and contend for their children in the place of prayer. So he switches planes, catches another flight, and a black lady sits next to him, and Lou's rocking and sees her reading a book, and he says, he can't see the title of the book, but he said, ma'am, what are you reading? And she held up the cover of the book, and the book is called The Esther Anointing. Mm-mm. Boom. Mic drop. Right then, God confirms, this is the hour. There's further confirmation when he goes to this meeting, and there, Pastor Cheon is installing Jenny Donnelly, who's a great partner to this movement, mm-hmm. into her apostolic leadership role over the nation. The Lord has also spoken to Jenny that she would be a part of gathering a million women to the mall. So it was the convergence of these two dreams that the Lord brought together in that moment, and that was this last April. And ever since then, we've been going, okay, God, we're going to mobilize. We're going to do it. And really just now in 2024 is when we are just blasting it far and wide. So here are the deets, ladies.
Give them the deets,
here
mama.
Are the deets. This movement is being modeled after the book of Esther. We're believing that Esthers are arising. When you're done listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, right away, go to 1millionwomen.org and register in faith right now that you're going to be there. Let me pause and say this. Let me tell you another story.
Tell us another one.
Lou did the first call in the year of 2000, mm-hmm. when maybe some of your listeners and viewers were not even born yet. I feel old.
Oh my goodness.
Anywhoozy, we won't talk about that. But it was the first time Lou would do a massive gathering on the mall in D.C. And as a young adult woman, the call came forth, just like the call we're issuing now. Something in my spirit knew that I had to be there. I could have very easily dismissed and gone, I'm just one little Mexican girl from Houston. What does my making the 24-hour drive because I was too po to fly, mm-hmm. what does my presence there really matter or not? But something in me felt like this is going to be a historic day. And if I'm not there, I'm going to miss an opportunity. Wow. There's the same kind of anointing on this day. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say, women of God, if you're hearing this and your spirit is being stirred, you being on the mall on that day, having your feet on the soil, using your individual voice, coalescing and gathering with all the other voices on that day, it shifts things in mm-hmm. the spirit. It is important. It's mm-hmm. imperative. If your spirit is responding right now, that you do whatever you can do to yep. get there on that day. Yeah. You'll be there with your little Bubba.
I will. Baby Walnut will be there and my Mordecai, my Lance.
I cannot wait.
I'm so excited.
See.
He's excited.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
So on October 12th, the reason that day is so significant, Jamie Lynn, is because that's the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It just happens to be on a Saturday. And for those who aren't listening, Yom Kippur is significant in biblical terms because it's the day that a nation stands before the Lord mm-hmm. and says, Lord, are we going to be blessed or are we going to be cursed?
Mm-hmm.
Is your blood going to pass? Is your blood going to be applied to our nation, to the sins of our nation? And so we are going as women to plead a better blood on the Day of Atonement, to believe that the blood of Jesus will be washed over our nation and all of the ideologies, the demonic ideologies that are going after our children, transgender ideologies. Yeah. It's not people, it's a spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit of death, the death that's in our streets. Ezekiel 35:6 says this, because you didn't hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you.
Wow.
So could it be that even for the states where abortion is still legal,
right,
where there's mass shootings and there's bloodshed that's like just encroaching, just taking over our nation. We are going as women, as Esthers, to plead the blood of Jesus over our nation. Yeah. It's going to be a significant day of prayer and worship, repentance and fasting. Yeah. And here's the thing about Esther. Esther didn't only pray and Esther didn't only fast. Esther had to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And she said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to take a public stand.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, daughters, Esthers of the Lord, if you perish, you perish. Yeah. You have to make a decision to stand for Jesus in righteousness.
Amen. What an honor. Like, how cool is it to be alive right now? I love America so much. Like, I love this nation. I'm so grateful. I always thought that I would be like the first female president. And then
yeah,
like, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you're like, my dream would be like to be the chaplain of America. Like, I love this nation so much. I want to see America turn to God.
Yes.
And the thing is, God can do it in a moment. He can do it on this day that we're gathering. Like, I have faith.
Me too.
That God, like, these biblical stories we read that leaders turn to God. Like, I think the most hard-hearted people can turn to the Lord in a moment. I've seen it happen.
Oh yeah.
And it seems so normal after they turn to the Lord. Oh, you're like, it's amazing. But like, what, has this been like this the whole time? Like, I believe everything can shift. And also, I don't want to make this political. I want to say, regardless of who's elected this year,
come on,
women gathering in person to come before the King of Kings, the maker of all of the heavens and the earth, for us to come together, if you will raise your voice, if you will save money, if you will get rid of that coffee once a week, because if you do the math between now and the time that October comes and you make a sacrifice, I'm not going to shop between now and then, I'm going to wear what I have, whatever it is, however you put your... If you will save, if you will believe that people will send checks in the mail for you to get your boots on the ground and be around women and link arms with them, I'm telling you, this is something that you will always wish you were a part of.
Yes.
I don't believe in FOMO. I don't think it's from the Lord, but I'm telling you right now, you have to get up and go, you are a modern day Esther. That means it requires a sacrifice to go stand in the place where decisions are being made for our nation. And I really believe that you're called for this time right now. And I'm saying, like, there's no excuse. You have time right now to believe for the finances, to believe
Absolutely.
For the group of women who are going, our team is going. I'm asking our team to save and get there. Like, that there is no excuse. God will provide for those, especially for something like this. So I feel so passionate about this nation. And I know, like, I don't want to look back. I mean, I'm pregnant now. And by the time this airs, I'll still be pregnant because this will be one of the first episodes that we release this year. But I want my son to inherit an America whose heart is turned to the Lord.
Absolutely. I mean, Psalm 102, I think it's verse 8 says, let this be written for a future generation, that a generation that has yet to be created may praise the Lord.
Come on.
And so we have to, it's about my children. It's about my child. I have one child. It's about my grandchildren. It's about a legacy. It's about what happens. Does the kingdom of God, should the Lord tarry, what legacy are we leaving for our children?
Yeah.
So join us at the mall and bring 10 friends
with you.
Help us mobilize.
Yeah.
Spread the word. Go to 1millionwomen.org. Go to hervoicemovement.com and get involved in this movement. Ladies, this is your movement. The prophets have been saying there's an anointing on women. This is the hour. We're going to show up in strength.
Show up with your grandma, your great grandma, your mom, make it your aunts, like make the women in your family and the men, the Mordecais, come on,
come
my
on.
Husband's coming. And he's so supportive of women. Like bring your family and let this be a family memory that you log in and tell your
Let's
generations
go.
To come about and be like, yeah, we were there when God did this. Like he's going to do it.
Absolutely.
He's going to do it.
He's going to do
I'm
it.
So excited.
Yeah. Thank you so much for helping me spread the word, Jamie
yeah,
Lynn.
Thank you.
Thank you ladies for helping me spread the word.
Yeah.
It's going to be a glorious,
it is.
Powerful, powerful day. You
it
do
is.
Not want to miss it.
No, you don't. And we have events in person this year, rallies we're preparing in person. We're doing online free mentorships from women who are part of this Esther movement. They're voices that have been selected to come and share what God is saying for women. And we want you to come join this and be part of it. So go to setapartwomen.co so that you can discover how you can join this movement. And we're going to be talking about this more throughout the year leading up to October, because we want you to be informed. We want you to be ready. We don't want to just announce it one time on a podcast and go. We're laying down 2024 to get behind this movement, because we feel the Lord, and this is a righteous remnant that is gathering
Come
in
on.
The mall, and you are called to be part of that. So don't say no. Just don't say no. Don't say no. Just say yes. And we'll see you there. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Laura.
My pleasure.
And we're so excited to see you in person. So go to setapartwomen.co to see how you can join us, and we will see you next week on Set Apart Women.